You keep praying for these folks. They need it. We're going to finish up Acts 21 here tonight, and then we're going to bridge over to Acts 22 here next week, Lord willing. We're going to talk about the Apostle Paul, the police, and an angry, murderous mob. And very timely. I thought about this, and this message is really kind of dealing with what I dealt with on my broadcast here today, evangelism, right now, biblical evangelism. And we're going to look at Paul. You know, what we go through is not much different than what the Apostle Paul went through, and except there's some more restraint here because of the rule of law and the things that are here a little bit, but that's diminishing, isn't it, before our eyes? But the Apostle Paul dealt with a lot of things. And, you know, I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that evangelism in the New Testament is not as sweet and clean and perfect and easy and simple as we'd like to make it out to be. Now, if you never go out into the outside of the camp and war outside of the camp, if you never go out and lift your voice up like a trumpet and you never preach in public or preach around people or challenge what's going on in this world today, then you won't have a lot of resistance. Most pastors, they get resistance enough as pastors, believe me, but they don't see the type of resistance that we will see when we go out in the open air and preach. They don't get that same type of warring that's there. It's different. And I, you know, a lot of pastors, they wouldn't want to deal with that. It would hurt their image. Yeah. Right. Yeah, he prayed. Yep. Right. But didn't want to know that, didn't want anybody to know he opposed it. Right. That pastor didn't want anybody to know that he opposed it. Right. So, I mean, you can understand why people would be that way, right? Well, most pastors in that, they don't want to go out there and have that, face that kind of, you know, opposition like that. Because if they say something wrong or they don't look as professional and polished as they normally do on their pulpit and everything like that, then people might think badly of them. I mean, they might even get the cops called on them. They might even get arrested. And then what would they do? Why, they would be terrible if they got arrested. Or the cops might tell them to leave. And they would never stand up to the authority, right? In Romans 13, you know, they're good 501c3 Romans 13 pastors. They would never stand up to that authority and say, well, no, that's technically not right. That's not correct. They would never do that, right? So basically, in our situation, it's not much different than what we've experienced. What we're going to talk about tonight is kind of what we experienced this week, and we'll probably experience even more in the weeks to come when we go up to the big Pride event up there and different events around this summer. We're going to run into that. Acts chapter 21, verse number 27, excuse me. When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This man that teacheth all men everywhere against... This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Now, they didn't bother to verify whether he did or not. They just supposed he did. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Sounds like a preaching event, doesn't it? Only Paul didn't even preach yet. But it sounds like one, doesn't it? It sounds like the public ministry, doesn't it? He gets out there, he gets around everybody, and what happens? Boom. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for all you do for us. We pray you bless. Now, Lord, help us. In the scriptures tonight, help us to learn and to grow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So notice number one, first, that preachers make lost people mad, just in case you didn't figure that out. Their presence sometimes just makes lost people very angry. I mean, we just walked up there. And as soon as we walked up there, we didn't even start preaching yet. That Jezebel lawyer lady who you can see on OPBC online right now on YouTube. You can watch the video of that lady. There's a 9-minute video, and then there's a 2-hour video of me having a lot of fun explaining what happened. It was really fun. But anyway, you choose. You could listen to either one of them. But as we walked up there, what happened? She opposed us right away. And who was she? It was a charismatic. I'm telling you, they always come around. Bible preaching, they just always have to be there. Bible preachers as well as preaching will make sinners very angry. We experienced this, didn't we? We experienced it. These are New Testament times, right? Nothing has changed from that standpoint. Men of God make the world angry. We stand contrary to the world. Our very existence angers them. So then here is Paul, who does all he can to be kind. He tries to accommodate the Jews to show them that he doesn't hate them and he doesn't disrespect Israel or Jerusalem or the temple or anything like that. And what do? They grabbed him. They were ready to go after him right away. They hated Paul because they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to remember that. Remember that sermon that I preached, the world hates Christ? They still do, and they hate you too. 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. If you're expecting people to love you and to treat you very kindly when you bring up the name of Christ, it's not going to happen. John 15, turn to John chapter 15. We'll look at verse number 17 through, I believe it's, oh, look at that. It's 25, 17 through 25. These things I command you, that you love one another. You know why you got to love one another? Because everybody else is going to hate you. That's just, you got to learn to love one another. As brethren in Christ and sisters in Christ, you better look around at everybody and you better say, you know what? I better learn to love these people, because everybody in this world is going to hate your guts. So you better learn to love the brethren. That's why John's saying that. That's why Jesus said that. You better love one another, because the world is going to hate you. So you better learn to love one another. That's why, you know what? We can't be causing strife and discord over differences that we have that are minor differences. We can't be easily offended. We can't live our lives like that and treat each other like that. Why? Because we already got enough enemies. We already have enough people that hate us. We really do. And you're going to have more. And these children, when they grow up, I want you to understand, look around, children, look around at the other children in this room. There's like 40 of you here, maybe not all tonight, but there's 40 of you here, and you better learn to love one another. You better learn that, yeah, my family's different than your family, and that family has subtle differences in this family, and this family has things that they do, and that family has things that they do. It ain't that much different, though. It ain't that much different. Because when it comes down to it, I'll hide you out in my cave and please hide me out in yours. Right? Right. When it all comes down to it, you all understand the difference between boys and girls. Right? Amen? Well, that's why you're going to be careful who you marry. You better look around and be like, be praying. I'm praying for you all right now. I'm making a matter of prayer for each and every one of you. Because I'm afraid if you start looking out there, and you're going to be like, I don't know if that's a boy. I don't either. You think it's funny, but I'm telling you what, in 20 years, never mind, I'm not going to go into that, but I'm going to keep going. All right. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus said that. Why are we so disconnected from that understanding today? It's crazy how we're so disconnected from that truth. That, wait, Jesus said, well, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. And then it baffles our, then he says, marvel not. And then we just marvel. We stand there like, why don't those people hate me so much? Well, Jesus said they were going to hate you because they hate him. That's why. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, if you want to be popular and you don't want to be hated, then you're not going to follow Christ. You won't. You won't follow the straight and narrow way. You'll give up and walk away from it. Why? Because you want everybody to like you. You just want everybody, you don't want anybody to, man, I don't want anybody to be mad at me. Oh, don't worry. It'll grow on you. It'll grow on you. You'll be like, eh. If you're of the world would love his own. That's what the Bible says. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. You know, when we went out there and just started preaching the gospel out there, started preaching the Bible out there, here come that Jezebel running up there, right? She's running up there and she's telling us why we're all wrong. Where do you get your faith from? From the Bible. Exclusively? Exclusively. Exclusively? Exclusively. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Both. Yep. Right there. And then she began to tell me where she got hers. Well, I have the gift of prophecy and speaking in tongues. And I told her she was a liar, of course. But what was her authority? Her gift. Her gift was her authority. She hated the truth. You didn't hear us say anything that we wanted anything bad to happen to those people. We didn't say anything that we wanted them hurt, that we wanted anything evil to happen to them, that we were glad they were going to hell, that we didn't say anything like that. We didn't want anything bad to happen to them. They wanted bad things to happen to us. They said that. Why? Because that's the spirit they have. That's right. They did want to do bad things. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. See, once you rip the covering off, oh man, it gets nasty. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. You'll stand there. They have no reason to hate you. They have no true reason. You haven't done anything to them. But today people hate you if you just tell them the truth. Those people think you hate them because you tell them the truth. Right? That's what they think. And they hated Paul. They hated Paul because they hated Jesus. And they're going to hate you because they hate Jesus. If you stand for the Lord. If you stand for the Lord, they're going to hate you. That's just how it's going to work. If you desire anything else, if you desire the love of the world, you better get that out of your heart right now. Because you'll never be the servant of Christ wanting the love of the world. You just won't. Number two, what did they do? They lied about him. If you hate someone, then you have to lie about them. That's what you do. People that hate you, they lie about you. The Jews from Asia stirred up this hateful mob against Paul, and they lied about him. When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help this man. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place." Well, all those things were lies. Paul didn't do any of those things. Let's see, they told the lie loud enough. People believed it. They stirred it around, spread it around the whole city, right? We'll talk about the chaos in a little bit, because chaos ensued a little bit later in our text as we get to the end of the chapter tonight. And really, no one knows why they're mad at Paul. They're just all ripping him apart, and they don't even know why they're mad at him. Some people are saying one thing. Some people are saying the other thing. They don't even know why they're mad at him. It took me a little while to figure this one out among so-called brethren and the world that they will lie about you. I always wondered, like, why do people have to lie? Like, how could they lie like that? Thought about that by something so boldly and so straightforward. How could you lie about that? How could you say something so evil and then, like, put that online and type that out and say that? Something so drastically evil and slanderous. Like, that, it's just appalling. Like, I'm like, you know, it's not even like something like you're afraid you said something you shouldn't have said, and you have to get that right because, you know, you got caught in a corner and you said something you shouldn't have said, and that's a lie. And you got to repent of that. Amen? That happens to God's people. It does happen. We shouldn't do that, but it does happen. It does happen. right? That's generally what happens with Christians. They don't usually plan it. They don't usually sit around, I wonder how I can be dishonest today. They don't usually do that. But these people, they do. They imagine it on their bed. They plan it. They plot it. They practice it. They put it in play. And they really let it go. I never could understand that quite when someone hates you that much. But it is hate that causes somebody to lie like that. It's absolute hate. And no lie is too great for them to tell. If they can't, like one person said, if they can't tell the truth about you, they're going to lie about you. They lied on the street. They practiced deceit with those officers. Over and over again, they lied. They said, well, we'll shut this off. We won't scream. What'd they do? 3 seconds later, they're screaming. As soon as the cops walk away, they're just liars. Sinners are liars. People ask us, why do you have cameras? Because you're liars. That's why. We have cameras because you lie. That's why. That's why. That's why we have cameras. You want to know why? Because people lie. That's why. People lie. Cops lie. Sinners lie. Right. We have it because people lie. And then we can prove you lied. Right? That's why. People ask, why do you have those? It's the reason. People lie, and you can get in a lot of trouble when people lie against you and you don't have any witnesses, right? It's because they're liars. It's in their heart. They make accusations against us while we're out there preaching. Say the most vile, make the most vile accusations against us. Right? That's what they did to Paul. Do you see the there's no difference in that. It's the exact same scenario that's playing out there. Right? We have to remember that we are still in those Bible times, and we're still, if you evangelize like Paul, you're going to have the same results that Paul had. You're going to have people get angry, and you're going to have people lie about you. Right? They whipped up a frenzy against Paul because they hated the spirit of truth that was in them. Right? That lady walked off, that Jezebel, she walked off, went back in there with that crowd and came back out with that crowd dancing and brought them all over. Right? That's what they do, right? Wherefore, putting away lying, the Bible says, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. John chapter 8, verse number 43 says, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. He's a liar. Jesus said they're liars, and they speak lies. By the way, he called them a murderer from the beginning. Lying is murdering somebody's character. When you slander someone like that, you're destroying and murdering their reputation, right? And you're murdering them in their heart. That's right. You're slandering them. You're destroying them. That's what you're doing. When you lie about them and you call them names or you falsely accuse them of something, you're destroying their name. You're absolutely slandering it, and that's what they did, or you're attempting to anyway. He that is of God heareth God. Jesus said this after that, after he reprimanded them for it. He says, which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? They told Jesus, oh, you got the devil. It's you that has the devil. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. See, lying is murder in that sense. It's destroying a man. The lost world knows this. This is why we're to be careful what we say. All of us as Christians, we have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful of falsely accusing people. We have to be careful to make sure that we know something before we speak it or we talk about it, that we're very sure of something. That's why older ladies are supposed to, it says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Right? Proverbs 10:18 says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Did they hide hatred with lying lips? A lot of hate in lying when it comes to that. A lot of hate in that. He that uttereth a slander is a fool. Jeremiah 6:28 says, they are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. That shouldn't be a trait among God's people, practicing deceit and lying or slandering people. It shouldn't be. We got to know what we're talking about. If we don't, we shouldn't say it. We got to be careful. Right, and about one another, we ought to be careful that we don't falsely accuse one another of something or think evil of one another and speak that and talk and lie about somebody, even inadvertently, or slander their name or say something grievous about them that can hurt them. Be careful about that, right? If you and I don't know that, I'll tell you something, and you got to be careful of, especially ladies as well. Got to be careful about what you say, because people listen to what ladies say a lot of times. And if they're out of line and they say things that they shouldn't say, and if they slander someone, right, flippantly, or they say something flippantly that they cannot prove, it's very damaging. Very damaging. One of the reasons why I try to be really careful around ladies and, you know, make sure my wife is with me and make sure or there's other men around me or whatever the case may be, because ladies can they can really hurt your reputation. They can really destroy it. And men can too when they act like fools. But it's just the point is that you have to be very careful with that because they can destroy it. They can lie about you. And if you have no one to defend you, if you have nothing there, then you're slandered. I mean, that's just all there is to it. So, and ladies, when in doubt, I wouldn't say anything. I'd just keep your mouth shut. If you can't prove what you're going to say, then don't say it. Sometimes you can be too flippant about things. I'm not talking about if somebody does something out of line. What I'm speaking about is that, you know, you have a comment about somebody, something about their character, something about who they are, and that sort of thing, and you can't prove that, you shouldn't say it. Be very careful about that. Don't be so quick to speak when it comes to things like that. And that's a good lesson for all of us as men, that we remember that too, that we're careful not to be too quick to speak about certain people or certain things, because if we don't have proof of what we're saying, then we just look like then our word is not taken, right? It hurts our integrity, right? If you can't prove it, then you got to be careful about saying it, right? We all have to. That's something that we have to remember, that we don't act like the lost world, because all they do is accuse people. That's all they do anyway. They're devils that accuse people, that speak falsely about people, and they don't care if it destroys that person. They do not care if it destroys anybody, right? We can't conduct ourselves like that. We've got to be different. We've got to conduct ourselves the right way. Number three, then they grabbed him, right? They laid hands on him. The lost world, they cannot deal with words that are against them. Soon they will become violent towards those. You ever notice that? How people say, you guys are mean and you guys are, that's hate speech and that's this. And how come they go over to the cops? How come they're allowed to have to say this hate speech? I said, that's not hate speech. It's protected speech. You pervert. That's protected too. But they'll use physical force to stop the preaching of God's word. They start standing in front of us, trying to grab our signs before. Remember that one lady? I think, was that a lady or a guy? I don't know. Took that knife and stabbed the banner right over Giannis' head. Right? Tried to cut into that. That's on video, too, if you want to go watch that. But when they saw him in the temple, they stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. Notice how they accused Paul of being the polluter, preaching against this place and being against people. And they're the ones that lay hands on him, and they're the ones that become violent, and they're the ones that grab him. And that's usually how it works. They project what's in their hearts. When you listen to those people talk, it is so absolutely filthy and vile that we have to mute it if I play a video or something. I can't even play it. It's so disgusting. And that's all that comes out. All we heard come out of their mouth was that 24, like the whole time we were out there, 4 hours, that's all they said was perverted things constantly. The whole time. That's what's in their heart. But by the way, some of the most violent people you'll ever see are those that oppose the preaching of the gospel. They are very violent people. They become angry and they want to put their hands on the preachers of God's word. Remember at that one concert, we were outside that concert and that guy with my GoPro, and he was on video, he goes, if you didn't have that care, I'd like to just grab that GoPro and just rip it off of you. Right? Remember the old lady that had the Christmas spirit He kindly looked at us and goes, I want you people to die. End quote. That's what she said. I was like, Merry Christmas. I feel the love. Pass the eggnog. This is great. I want to sing Christmas songs. What's that? I hope something bad happens to all of you. That's very... Oh, that's funny. But they become angry. They want to put their hands on the preachers, right? John 6:15, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. They grabbed Jesus too, right? Luke 20:19, and the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. John 10:39 says, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. One time they tried to grab him and he just disappeared in the midst of them. He's, we can't do that, so we... Acts 14:19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. See, that's very common that they would get angry, right? Well, but what about Acts 7:57? Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. They stoned him too. Jesus said, he lamented that, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent among you. Right? All the apostles except John died violent deaths. Every single one of them. Hung some one on an olive tree. I think Luke was hung on an olive tree. John, they boiled him in a pot, but he jumped out. Like leapfrog. He's, pew. See ya. He took off. Must have been interesting. But he jumped out of a pot. Others were, Timothy... Paul's disciple, Timothy, they beat him to death because he rebuked them for their ridiculous idolatry when they were on their way to some goofy ceremony. And he got out there and he preached hard to them and they just beat him to death. And James, they pushed him off the top of the temple and splattered his brains on the ground. We don't have it so bad yet, right? But they want to be violent. They told us that. They looked at us and they said, they looked right at me and said, if these cops weren't here, we'd tear you apart. Yeah, and then the cop looked at us at the other event and said, do you think I care what happens to you? Like, nah, not really. No, I don't. Not at all. Right? That's true. He could have dropped dead. That's right. He may still. You never know, right? But that's how these people are. They're very violent. They're very angry people. They're very violent. They said, if those cops weren't here, I might beg to differ whether they could do that or not, but I don't know. I don't like to entertain thoughts like that, but I'm looking at these. I'm looking at all these gay balloons and all these. I'm like... Really? What are you going to do? Ride your little My Little Pony up to me and like trample me? Ooh. I mean, is that what you're going to do to me or what? Are you going to play gay songs until my head explodes or what? I mean, what exactly are you going to do to me? Like break a nail by hitting me or what? Probably. Anyway, now they could get meat enough and, you know, they could get maybe 100 of them and they could get us. But I just look at them and I'm like, but if they're devil-possessed, they can do a lot of things. But our protection is not in us. It's in the Lord. We just trust the Lord. We're not afraid of any of them because God can deal with all of them. I mean, remember, one angel wiped out thousands of people, just came by and God just caused fire and brimstone to fall from heaven and burn them all up. And he's going to do that. And we can look at them and say, you know what? We ain't worried about us. We know where we're going. We're worried about you. You don't know where you're going, but you are going to hell. You are on your way. right? So you can, whatever, you can kill our bodies, but you can't kill our souls. What, are you going to take my body? Big deal. I'm getting a new one anyway. Right? But that's what they do. They're very violent. They got violent with Paul, right? They wanted to kill him. Right? That's what they do. By the way, I've had him threaten to rape my father before. They told us up there at that sodomite event. They said that. Right? That's what's in these people's hearts. But who's going to tell them if we don't? Who's going to go? They're too vile. You can't talk to them. You can't tell them. Well, somebody's got to. Who else is going to? Nobody else wants to talk to those people. They're, you know what they've done? They've turned their churches into sanctuaries for those people. They've changed their churches into, they put the rainbow flag out and they've changed their churches into pride churches, which is like the total opposite of the scriptures, right? That's what they've done. They're not, who's going to tell them if we don't? No one. No one's going to warn them. And then they'll never know the difference between a boy or a girl either if we don't give them science lessons, right? I usually tell them that they were in public education and they got ripped off. Because they don't even know the difference between a boy and a girl. So, I mean, we can't have deep discussions when you don't even know the difference, right? It's sad, really. You know, they have that in their hearts. Preachers are threatened all the time, beaten in some places, lied about, slandered, and killed. They'd kill us, too, if God didn't restrain them. They would. I mean, there's nothing stopping anybody from coming up and blowing our heads off. God Almighty. I know that's very sobering, but it's true. I mean, what earthly is stopping those people from doing that? Nothing. Do you think, do you see anything earthly? I mean, I know, I hope you're not depending on, well, it's the police. It's going to be the police. That's what's going to do it. They sat outside of a school and watch 19 kids get blown away in that school and then go in there and take them out. Take that guy out. Who, by the way, I have a question about. A lot of questions. You want to hear them? Here's some questions. Okay. I know. I shouldn't do this. But thanks for asking. Yeah. Here's some questions. Number one, how does an 18-year-old guy that has high water pants that can't afford anything at all have two Daniel Defense rifles at the tune of $4,000 minimum, right, for those two rifles, right? Daniel Defense, nice Daniel Defense rifles. How does he have like 500 rounds of ammunition? Okay, where does he get that? Man, you can't even hardly find that. But where does he get 500 rounds of ammunition, right? Where does he, how does he have the sense of presence to walk through that school professionally with a rifle, professionally while people are going, whoa, and they're running around crazy? How can he be so calm, cool, and collected and perfect in his shots to shoot all those people like that, that easily, that simply? That don't sound weird to you? And the cops are all outside like, we ain't going in. You going in, Billy? I ain't going in. You going in, Billy? I ain't going in. Uh-uh. I ain't going in there. Here comes somebody's mother. She's going to go in there. She hops the fence, goes in there, gets her kid, and comes out. What are we doing here? I mean, Billy Bob ain't going in there. He's picking his nose standing out there, right? He's just picking his nose there while people are in there getting shot. Shots going off everywhere. People calling 911, and nobody's doing anything about it. And you're trying to tell me that that's all normal? Like, I'm supposed to... And the President of the United States visited and said, okay, that's it. We're demoing the building. We're done. So they're going to demo the whole building. Yeah, I know. That's what they're doing. That don't sound weird to you that they're going to demo a whole school? We're, oh, we're just going to get rid of it. Bad memories there, you know, and all. Get rid of it. You realize we're in like a trillion-dollar deficit, like trillions, and you're just going to, well, we'll just build a new school. Why are you destroying this whole building? It doesn't make sense. None of it does. And I'm not Alex Jones, and I don't have any money, so they can't sue me, so whatever. But anyway, it doesn't make sense. None of it does, right? But anyway, I'll just leave that there, and you can do whatever you want with it. Maybe I'll do a broadcast on Friday and get kicked off of YouTube. That'll be great. Maybe I'll do that. Because it just doesn't add up, and it really doesn't make any sense. Right? Does it to anybody else? Doesn't to me. Anyway, that was free. That was... And maybe the rest of you don't know what I'm talking about. And to top it all off, and the guy gets elected to the city council. The sheriff is on the city council. And they swore him in on the city. Well, he was voted in before that. So he's on the sheriff, the one that sat outside and watched everybody die inside while people are dying. He's on the city council now. Is that, and he's not cooperating with the investigation. A lot. And Border Patrol comes in like minutes later and they come into the school and Border Patrol comes in at that event and they're the ones that take out the shooter. And they showed up an hour before then, but the sheriff told them the police chief told them they couldn't go in. I don't know why I'm talking about it. Just because it goes along with this stupidity. It's just, it's insanity. It doesn't make any sense. But that's how lost people act. That's what they do. Nothing they do makes sense. But they are possessed. And if you think that guy wasn't possessed that had anything to do with that, he was. And probably so was that sheriff, that police chief that sat outside while those kids were dying. Because you really have to be. Because I don't care whose kid it is. I'm going in there. If that idiot's shooting up that school, I'm like, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to hit him in the head with a brick. I will get to him. I don't care how I got to get to him, but I'm getting to him. He's going to drop that gun one way or another. Or he's going to run out of bullets trying. But he's going to drop that gun. Because I ain't watching a bunch of kids die like that. They don't have to be my kids.
Right.
I'm going to watch a bunch of kids die like that. And I can listen to that stupid cop that told me not to go in there. Yeah, right. Whatever. Get out of my way.
Yeah, what are you?
Yeah, go ahead. We know you can't shoot him, so you better do something else.
Right.
Just the point. I'd go in there and take care of him. Yep. And if you'd sit there and watch those people die, you're a coward too. Because you got women crying for their babies saying, I'm going to go in there and stop that guy. You better believe I'll stop that guy. Somebody better. Look, he killed a bunch of children. Right, and they watched it happen. They listened to it. They listened to the screams of those children. Right. Right, a guy with a shotgun went in there. Yeah. The sick world we live in. But you know what? That's the spirit. That's the spirit of the world right there. There's slowly creeping upon people here that they don't care about anybody and anything. They don't believe in defending life, and they won't, and they'll watch people die. You're seeing it on subs. People have basically checked out of reality when it comes to that, and they don't care. They don't care. Life is cheap. That's why when we were talking about Worldometer, we were talking about Lee and I on Monday when found out that Otto had passed away, and we were talking about abortions a day. What was it? How many was it? 3,000, 4,000 a day in America, right? 4,000. Yeah, that's what it was. 4,000 babies a day. And you're talking about 17, you're talking about 11 or 17 children or whatever it was at a school, which is tragic and awful and terrible, but 4,000 babies a day? Almost in America, right? 40% of pregnancies in America are aborted. 40% of people are killing their own children. No, that doesn't. 40%. And we wonder why children have no, like they look at their life and it's like they have no value in it. It's just, it's staggering is what it is. It really is. The only thing that's going to fix it is Christ. He's going to fix it. He's going to come back and put it all down and change it. But this world is going to get worse, right? It's going to get much worse. You know, a man, you have such a anger towards even biblical preaching today. when people hear the truth, they have one or two responses today that I've seen. One, they're completely like immune to hearing it, right? They're done. They can't, like, they're like zombies. Or two, they become extremely angry with it, right? A man contacted me last week, and he asked me for some advice. He was backslidden. He was away from the Lord, and he got with this woman, and he had a baby, and then he came under conviction. He separated from her, not living with her, not fornicating with her, and he separated from her, and he's trying to work things out with her because he wants to marry her. He wants to raise his child with her, and he wants to work it out. Well, when he explained to her that he was willing to work 14 hours a day so she could stay home and take care of the baby and they could raise their family and everything like that, she flipped out on him. She got irate with him. And she said she wasn't a maid and all this other stuff. And he told her, all he said was he wanted to take care of her. That went over terribly. I told him to have patience, to pray for her. He said it got ugly. He lovingly said, I tried to show her the scriptures. I tried to show her. And it just, you know, she wasn't upset about them abstaining from, you know, staying separated until they were married and doing things the right way, like after, you know, they had already sinned or whatever. She was okay with that. She said that she would wait for that. But, you know, what angered her was that he wanted to be a biblical husband and he wanted to take care of her. That angered her. Think about that. Made her angry. That's what biblical preaching does. It makes people angry. All he did was tell her the truth. Makes them mad. Then the next thing we find out is that the cops show up, right? Paul went through the same thing. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Right? It's not hard to find the preachers. You just look for where the uproar is in the city, and you'll find them real quick. Right? You'll find them. That's what happened to Paul. He was just walked out there. He hadn't even started preaching yet, but he was just there, and they found out he was there. That's what happened to us the other day. All those people showed up. We didn't even start preaching yet. As soon as we walked up there, as soon as we sat there, we had the sign up there. The sign started preaching before us. As soon as that happened, boom, here they come. Right? They went about to kill him. So the police there or the soldiers there, they find out there's trouble in the city, right? What they do, they came to help Paul. They came to find out what was going on, first of all, right? But if you lift up your voice in the public, if you preach like that, you're going to have trouble. People are going to come, and they're going to get angry, and the cops are going to come. The cops, that's the one thing I learned about street preaching right away. Whenever you preach, the cops are coming. Man, when we first came to Northfield, it was, I think it was Brother Russ and I, we were out there, and I first started preaching, and I got out there, man, all of a sudden, here come the cops. Whoop, 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 whoop. They come from everywhere, man. But the fastest I ever seen cops show up is when I turned that half-mile hailer on 2 years ago. When I turned that thing on, man, and I cranked that thing up, and I started preaching, I mean, literally, I swear they heard that all the way down in their precinct, and they just, whoop, and they were just up there and on me in seconds. And now they keep threatening me every time, you can't use it. I'm like, yeah, okay. And I just use it. When they get loud, I get loud. If they stop, then we stop. That's how we did it the whole time, Saturday. Right, way louder. Right? You know, the chief captain here with when Paul here, so you call him like the chief of police, right? He rescued Paul with many soldiers. He came in, swooped in there, and grabbed Paul. Why? Because they were going to rip him apart. That reminds me of a story David Ickes told me when he was in the middle. He said sodomites are the most angry people he's ever been around. He said they were at a pride event in Chicago back in the 90s, and he said, man, it was... you. They were like, somehow they found themselves like right in the middle of this. The sodomites all surrounded them. So then they were in the middle. Right. they were surrounded by hundreds. And they were just, here's these, like, picture, like, 10 guys, like us, right? 10 of us, and then there's, like, 500 people around them, and they're just, like, swarming them. He said they sat there, and they stood there, and they were preaching, and they were looking around. It was like this. He said, and all of a sudden, he heard this, boom, 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 boom. It was a van, it was the police paddy wagon that came in. It was like the A-team van. It just came, boom, 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 boom. And they just come out in their riot gear, boom, and they push them, and they throw them in the paddy wagon, and they just step on it and get the guys out of there, and they just pulled them out of there. Man, they were thanking God for those cops that day because they saved. I'm telling you, they would have tore those sodomites. In Chicago especially, they would have tore them up. But they got them out of there. Yeah, they got him out of there. They threw him in there and got him. They didn't arrest him. They were just trying to get him out of there because they were going to kill him. They knew it. They were like, we got to get these guys out of here. They're going to kill him. And they would have. They probably would have, but the Lord delivered them just like they did Paul here. It says that they bore Paul on their shoulders. So in other words, they're running out of the temple, right? It's so bad that the gang of police here, the chief captain and his soldiers, throw Paul up in the air, grab him, and they are marching Paul. Yes, they're marching Paul out of there, down the stairs, and they're like, what did you do to those people? Why do they hate you so much? Right? That's what they're thinking. Look at verse number 32 here. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem's in an uproar. So he's like, what's going on? Why is this city like this? What is happening here, right? That's what we find there. Verse 32, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down on them. And when they saw the chief captain, the soldiers, they left off beating of Paul. So they saw the police are like, okay, we're done. They stopped beating him up, right? They didn't want one of those stop resisting warnings. You ever had one of those? You know those are like, don't you? Where the cops are like, stop resisting, and they just keep hitting you because you're resisting and you're not really, and your hands are like this and your head's bobbing around like this, but you're really not stop. You're not resisting, but it feels like you are because your head's going like everywhere. Like, yeah, that's what they were talking about. So they all stop touching Paul, right? They take their hands off Paul, and here comes the cops here, and they pick him up. They pick Paul up. Then the chief captain came near. It says here, in verse number 33, came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. So picture this. So he's got Paul, and he runs in with the soldiers here. He's got a whole army full of soldiers that he brings in here, and he comes up and he says, put the irons on him. Put him in cuffs. Find out what's going on. Who are you and what did you do to these people? Right? Because he doesn't know who he is. And the rumors are flying around everywhere who Paul is. So he's hearing from one guy that, well, Paul's this crazy Egyptian guy that led like thousands of people into the mass murders into the wilderness. That was Paul, right? Oh, that's not who he was. But that's who they claimed him to be. Demanded who he was and what he had done. Verse 34, and some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. He's like, okay, I can't get any answers here because they're going to kill him anyway. I got to get him out of here. So they get him out of there, right? They're going to carry him to the castle. And when he came up on the stairs, so it was that he was born of the soldiers for the violence of the people. So the people were still trying to kill Paul. They're just like, they're going after him. They're trying to get him. So they're like, they hoist Paul up and they're running with Paul up the steps to get him into that castle, to get him away so they can find out what in the world did this guy do to these people, right? They can't question him in front of everybody. They can't calm the crowd down. They don't know what's going on. They just got to get Paul out of there. He's got to go, right? So let's see. Here we are. And verse number 35, and when he came upon the stairs, so it was. Okay, verse number 36, for the multitude of the people followed after crying away with him. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said to the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Right? He's like, Paul's like, hey, they got Paul in the air, and he's like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Paul's wondering, what are they going to do to me? These cops got me on their shoulders. They're taking me out of here. What are they going to do to me? Right? Can I speak to you for a second? May I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian which before these days made us an uproar and led us out in the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? Aren't you that leader of that gang of murderers? Paul's getting ready to get beat down. Paul's like, no, I'm not that guy. That's not me. I didn't do it. But Paul said, I am a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. So Paul wants to preach his sermon still. He's like, I think I can calm him down. I got a good idea. Why don't I preach? I mean, it worked so well before. Why don't I just preach? Yeah, now he's got police protection. Paul was very wise. And the Lord set this up so Paul could do this. And I think it's funny what Paul does. And we're not going to talk about it this week because we're done. But we're going to talk about it next week that Paul was very slick. Paul was slick what he did because he turned that whole crowd against each other. And so he could get away. And it was brilliant, really. It was. But anyway, this guy asked him, you know, this captain, who are you? Like, what have you done? Now, he says, okay. So all the cops are standing out, protecting him, right? Now he's going to give up and give the sermon that he wanted to preach to them. At least part of it, anyway. And he's going to do that. And that's where we're going to end it here, right? But, you know, sometimes it's not bad to have the cops be on your side. You know, it's not a bad thing. Now, those police officers in Northfield on Saturday did a very good job. They handled, they conducted themselves. They weren't on our side, but they were on the side of being, orderly. They said, you know what? We're going to do this orderly. They have a right to speak. You have a right to be here. You know, we can do this decent. There doesn't have to be this. So those police being there actually was a benefit to us too as well. Sometimes it isn't, but in that case on Saturday it was because they sat there the whole time. By the way, look for that up at Pride too because the Pride people are very angry. Or no, the out front people are very angry because there's not enough transgenders in the Pride movement. So they're having like a soap opera battle between each other and the trannies are mad at the homosexuals. The homosexuals are mad at the trannies. And they're very angry because, and then the black transgenders are mad because they're not represented. And the furries are furious. They are. So this is all going on, right? And they're all kind of angry up there. So out front's not going to be there. So remember how they were there before trying to stop us from talking to people? Those people up there, like they would have those women counselors that would be like, oh, go have fun. Happy Pride. Don't talk to these buffoons. Right? They're not going to be there. They were kind of annoying. They won't be there. But I think, but they're mad. But also the black, indigenous, transgender, whatever that means, people. Those people, the what were they called? Biopox or something like that? Something like that. They're angry that the police are going to even be there. So one of their problems is they're mad because the police are going to be there. But me, I'm happy they're going to be there. And I hope they post up right next to us the whole time. I hope they do. But anyway, so yeah. So they. Yeah, that would be fine. That would be fine. So, because we'd love to have an armed escort to be able to give our message like Paul did. That's what Paul had. He had soldiers all over there. Paul wasn't armed, right? Paul didn't do that, but the soldiers were there and God used it. And, you know, if the Lord decides to do that, that isn't our, you know, that isn't, amen. We're not doing it. You know? Yeah. So that's what Paul did, and Paul is able, he's going to be able to preach to these Jews, and you're going to hear his sermon. He's going to be able to preach to them, right? And without them being able to rip his face off, which is a good thing, right? Anyway, so not much different, is it? Really similar. We'll get into Acts chapter 22, Lord willing, next week. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the wonderful examples you give us. Lord, we'd probably think we were insane if we didn't see all this in the scriptures as we go out and preach the gospel in the open air and we warn men to flee from the wrath to come. Lord, we wouldn't know what to think if that wasn't in the scriptures to show us exactly what happens to your people when they obey you. And sometimes bad things happen even though we do right. Help us to remember that, Lord, and to trust you by faith. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. Thank you for each person here. Help us to love one another. Help us to pray for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.